Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. Well, it all comes with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That means everything. Great sales staff that works with you. They'll do everything to save you money. Remember, your trade-in's never been worth more. And that service department is not good. They're great. Great. From inspections to routine to difficult, they handle it all. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, Van Jefferson to the house.
Under center, Stafford, play fakes, boots out to his left, looking deep. He's got Van Jefferson, and Van brings it in at the goal line. Middle of the field, touchdown LA! What a rocket shot from Matthew Stafford. Saw it coming all the way.
We use the radio call because they happen to know who the players are. I'm just kidding. All right. What? That was another rough Monday night. Did you watch that game?
I did. I had it. It was more background noise. I wasn't really paying attention to the broadcast itself. I was paying attention to the game when I could.
It was another rough Monday night. Wow. Okay. Oh, well. All right, let's get to the recruiting part. Ryan Snyder does a great job. Ryan, welcome. It was great to see you last week at the field. Great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, I forgot it was Coach's Show night. I just wanted a burger, and I realized, oh, no, it's packed. So we hung out and waited. It was good seeing you and Coach Shrewsbury and everybody else out there. The field's awesome. Recommend to anybody.
Yeah, it really is. Ryan, it's interesting. We're in a world of video all the time, but I still think, to me personally, maybe it's the old-fashioned part of me, I'm still a big believer in seeing something with my own eyes. How many of these prospects did you actually get out to see with your own eyes that Penn State's about to sign?
Okay, so let me think here. I did 33 of the past 40-some weekends on the road to some sort of camp or games. Okay, so I would say probably, there's so many guys down south. I would say at least, all the guys in the region, everybody in Pennsylvania, Drew Aller out in Ohio, Denai Dennis Sutton down in Maryland. So probably 60, maybe a little over 70%, something like that.
All right.
But I've been busy.
All right, so now there's a lot of people that rank prospects. When you actually were able to see some of these guys in person, did it really match up with what you were being told about them?
Of course. I would say so. I mean, definitely with those top guys.
Yes,
Drew Aller,
right.
From Nick Singleton to Denai Dennis Sutton. There's no doubt that those guys deserve to be where they are. Drew Aller's rise is incredible. Can't remember the last time I saw a three-star, quality offers probably leaning towards Iowa State. And that's back in, beginning of the year, rise to where he is. And it's all just a testament to the work he has put in. We saw him in multiple camps this year, and he was good in the spring, and he got better at the Elite 11. And then he translates that into an incredible season with 4,000-plus yards passing and, all the accolades that fans know well now. And, I definitely saw that progression throughout the year. Denai Dennis Sutton was hurt a little bit, of course, with his elbow surgery. But, man, when he finally got healed in the second half of the year, he was excellent. I mean, causing think he had it was about 20 or so quarterback hurries in, I don't know, five or so games, which is an excellent number. And Nick Singleton, I think anybody in Pennsylvania would know when you look at his stats, 6,000-plus yards rushing and 113 touchdowns, I want to say, over the course of his career. And, of course, 2,000 of those and 40-plus touchdowns came just this season alone. I mean, when you look at his physical stature from his size to his vision to his speed, there is nothing there that you can really pick apart. I mean, he absolutely deserves to be the number one quarterback or number one running back. I can't pretend I saw all the quarterbacks out there, but from what I saw from Drew Aller, it's hard to argue there's somebody better. So when it comes to the top of this class, man, those guys certainly checked out. And, you know, a bunch of those, you know, four-star guys throughout the class certainly impressed me throughout the season as well.
All right. If I recall, he was somebody that actually had played other positions before being a quarterback. Is that correct?
Yeah. So you're talking about Drew. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe, oh, man, you put me on the spot here, Steve. Yes, he did as a freshman. I can't remember what it was. He I know he split time as a freshman. He actually wasn't, put it this way. This guy's rise is so impressive. He wasn't even the freshman. Not only was he not the freshman varsity starter as a freshman, he actually split time as the freshman team starter, okay? Like all the way back, you know, in his freshman year, of course. So, I mean, his rise is incredible. I forget his position, Steve. You're putting me on the spot, and I apologize. I want to say he was maybe a safety, but I can't remember exactly. But I will say, though, that once Drew, you know, became the starting quarterback his sophomore year, I mean, that was everything. I mean, I will say with Bo Kribula was absolutely a safety his freshman year, mm-hmm. and then he became the starting quarterback at Central York, and it was a similar fashion. But Bo Kribula actually played safety all throughout his junior year, too, and then his coach didn't play him too much as a senior. And in those key games, he threw him back there a bit, but, of course, he wanted to limit any injuries, things like that.
He always wanted to come to Penn State, didn't he? I mean, since he was a little kid.
Oh, yeah. His mom sent me all the photos when he committed. I mean, he's been coming up to games his whole life. He's Penn State through and through. I wish I had the photo on me right now of his little uniform. Actually, I'm going to try and get that in the signing day. Thanks for the reminder tomorrow. I'm going to try and get that into some of our some of our stories tomorrow, too. But, yeah, Bo's been coming up here. Man, I think it was 7-8 years old. I believe that was what his mom told me. And, you know, they not coming to games every year or anything like that. But,
sure.
You know, Penn State through and through throughout his whole childhood.
I might know a little more than I let on. How about that?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay. I might know a little more than I let on. All right. The positional balance of this group. And I'm talking about, like, you take a look at the roster all the time. How does the positional balance of this group fit with the rest of the roster?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, there's always spots you'd like to add on. You know, especially if he can. But with the transfer portal, it's so hard. You know, you're especially down the stretch, you're weighing top high school prospects against the film you're seeing from college prospects, and you got to set an incredibly high bar, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you can't just take someone, especially when you're watching, you know, a top offensive lineman, we'll say, you know, from a group of five who played well. So, you know, if I would point to one spot that I think they really wanted to add, it was definitely offensive tackle. They pushed hard down the stretch to try and flip a few guys. Ty Chan, who's committed to Notre Dame. They worked hard on Emil Wagner, of course, committed to Notre Dame. Penn State fans should recognize him. He just committed a few weeks ago. They worked hard on. So that's a spot, you know, that I think they would like to have had. You know, there were some quality defensive tackles that I think that they, you know, Derek Moore, for example, at St. Francis was someone they really pushed hard for. And look, whenever you're in the mix with an elite defensive tackle, you got to push no matter what your scholarship said you need to do. But adding, you know, five wide receivers, you know, that was clearly a position that they felt they really needed to add on, and they will. I'm including Christian Driver in that, of course, who could play potentially safety or wide receiver. Speaking of safety, too, that's really an important spot. We'll see where Driver ends up, but, you know, we know KJ Winston will play there. I expect Mekhi Flowers to start there. Penn State's had a few guys leave in recent months, and, you know, that'll be a spot that they definitely want to add reinforcements, and they have. Tyrese Mills is expected to come in after finishing classes. Of course, he has to still another semester at Lackawanna, but he's expected to be here in the summer, and, you know, he'll come in and be, I think, sophomore right away, yeah, because junior college guys didn't have last year didn't count for them. So, I mean, I think it's pretty good. Two quality running backs. Like I said, if they could add a spot, I think they'd like to add an offensive tackle. But aside from that, can't pick too many holes.
Ryan, in the time that you have been doing this, where you have been locked in on the recruiting part, where do you think this class is compared to some other classes Penn State's had based on just the groups that you've watched over the recent years?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always funny. I get that. And it's hard now to say where it ranks just because I've seen, you know, the previous classes come through, right?
You know, so you know what the result actually was.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So it's always one of those things where, yeah, you know, if you asked me back in 2018, I thought that was the greatest class ever. And don't get me wrong, it was very good. But then, of course, there were some guys who missed. And, you know, it just changes your perspective. But, you know, we think the rankings are pretty fair when you look at all the sites, Rivals, 247, ESPN, and On3. And I do think looking back, especially at the players we were projecting, you know, I don't see any holes and yeah, maybe some of them didn't pan out, but I completely understood at the time why that player was as coveted as he was. So right now we have this as the second best class since Franklin took over, and I really can't put too many holes in that. I will say that, you know, the top of this class is pretty good, and, you know, a couple of the guys in that 2018 class didn't pan out. So you would think maybe this has the potential to be the best class under Franklin. But, you know, if you ask me that question in December 14, 2024, I can give you kind of a different answer. But I would say, especially over the last 3 years, if you look at the On3 rankings, Penn State's had now three top 10 classes in the last 5 years. And that's very, very important. You know, if they can continue to build on that, of course, that's even better. But there's always just a solid group of four-star players. That has always been there. They always get, you know, those top 300 guys. It's all about getting those guys at the very top that have been hit and miss in times. And sometimes that's not their fault. I mean, Pennsylvania was just down in 2019, and they had to go national. And, you know, yes, they can do national, but, you know, it's just when you're recruiting against Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and Ohio State, it's hard. So I think they – you know, I think this definitely should be considered the second best class under Franklin, and it has all the potential to be the best as we see how guys develop.
So let's take another element to it. What has the transfer portal added to your job?
Ooh, stress. Is that a good place to answer?
Yeah.
Start with stress.
No, the amount of work that is put into it when you think you have a chance to breathe, you can't.
Yeah. No, certainly not. I'll say this. I think, you know, there was some talk last week about switching up the recruiting calendar. Steve, did you see that article?
I did.
I believe it was by Adam Rittenberg, I want to say.
Adam Rittenberg, yep.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that mindset, which is basically, you know, what we see now. First off, we'd eliminate the early signing period, and I think you just go back to the normal signing period in February, and that would be it. And the thought there is you can maybe still have the contact period, which is what we just saw, 2 weeks, coaches on the road constantly. But allowing them to sort out their outgoings and their incomings for transfers would be a massive, massive boost on relieving stress for coaches and maybe myself a little bit. But I can't complain. The coaches are the ones with the real stress. And then, you know, you can really, you know, put your efforts into high school players, of course, in January. So I do think that is a very wise move just because, again, you know, Penn State's going to sign 25 players tomorrow, and that's going to be a good thing. And, you know, they're very happy with that. But you're going to have outgoings over the next 6 weeks. And you know, there's going to be, what, maybe 15% of the talent pool left. And that's going to make it incredibly difficult to hit those guys. And, you know, if you want to fill with high school talent instead of college guys, and of course, you know, guys who are going into portal, they're going into the portal for a reason, right? I mean, they're not the true all-star kind of player that Penn State wants. Yes, they found an Arvilla Bikketi last year, but that's not going to happen every year. So it's definitely stressful when you have to watch. What are we at? I mean, I think, 400 plus guys? And yeah, we know key positions, and right. You know, you can look at PFF data to tell who's really who, but it's definitely difficult to follow, especially because these guys don't want to talk. You know, they're past the recruiting process. The last thing they want to do is pick up for Ryan Snyder. So we'll see.
So now let's dovetail to the next one. Obviously, I've asked you about 2023 before. I know internally there are a couple of people internally that, as much as they love this class, they think they got a shot at even better in 2023. Do they?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that defensively that 2023 class is so impressive. That's where I really think next year could be a heck of a haul defensively, especially in the region that's just stacked with linebackers and quality prospects. So that'll be something to watch. I would say Pennsylvania this year was a little bit higher than what PA is next year, but both classes are very good, especially when you look back to like times like 2019, 2020, where Pennsylvania was down a little bit. And whenever you have a good Pennsylvania class, it's a major boost to Penn State, of course. I think all fans would probably understand that. So I think that with the way they have started and how aggressive they were in June and especially at the end of July with the Lash Bash, I mean, they have an awesome net cast, I guess you would say, of elite talent, guys who have been here 2, 3, 4 times. And that's so important. I mean, I could probably rattle off 40-plus kids who are, you know, if they're not a 4-star, they deserve another look as a 4-star, who have been to Penn State multiple times now. So that's a very good place to start. Quarterback will be a very interesting position because it's down a bit in next year. I wouldn't say maybe down a bit. It's the talent is very spread out. I mean, maybe they're arguably their top two quarterback prospects. One's in Detroit and Dante Moore, and the other one's all the way out in California at that position. But again, man, I'll really come back to defensively. I think next year's class could be really good, and we'll see how it plays out. But they've done an excellent job, at getting off to an early start. It helps when you get 12 kids to commit in 41 days in June and July.
What did the presence of Mike Yurcich mean, especially in the quarterback recruiting, and what has been the reaction to Manny Diaz?
Yeah, Drew Aller's not here without Mike Yurcich. I mean, that's point blank, the best way to put it. So that's incredible, and that's very positive. I mean, I think Yurcich is a major reason why Penn State's in a good position with Jaden Rashada, who, again, we're talking about a kid from California who flew out to Penn State not once but twice on his own dime, to come here in the summer and then again for the whiteout game against Auburn. So that's I don't want to say all because of Yurcich, because they do an awesome job recruiting as a staff, but he's certainly the main reason for that. Sutton, talk to me in a week from now, and I'll have a much better
recruiting, but to Penn State football.
Monsters. I mean, it's State College, it was difficult for Penn State to get guys to come up here and visit on their own. I can go back and look at a dozen or so guys that made it, and I can point maybe 30, 40-plus guys who visited Maryland because they live in the Baltimore region. What I mean? So that was huge, knowing that, hey, if you're going to come all the way up here for a visit, you're not going to just walk around yourself. You're going to get quality time with the coaching staff. And also, that's James Franklin's strength, one-on-one, me and you, with parents or coaches, of course. That's where James really excels in recruiting. He's so hands-on with these guys when they come to campus. I think it's always one of the first things that players tell me is, hey, I was coming up to hang out with Phil Troutwine or Terry Smith or whomever, and I didn't realize I was going to spend 2-3 hours with James Franklin too. So, just that's always been his strength. That will always be his strength. And, getting guys here was a huge part of it. And then there's one last thing too. It's just they work so incredibly hard. I mean, I think they had guys here in June all but 3 days in that 27-day period. I can't pretend I watched everything in Ohio State and Maryland and Rutgers and all the regional schools, but I'd be surprised if they had as many guys getting up here especially for those weekday visits, at random times for those one-on-one kind of visits. As much as Penn State did. So they're just incredibly committed to it. They did a great job then with camps too, over, I think it was 1,400 guys camped, and I think about 300 of them were already Division I prospects or become, Division I prospects with offers. So just incredibly aggressive, and when they get guys here, they know how to sell. So that's the best way to put it.
Ryan, thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are, and appreciate you very much.
Oh, can't wait to see you at the field again. I'll be out next Thursday. Let's do it.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Ryan.
See you, Steve. Take care.
Ryan Snyder on 3.com. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Letter of intent day is tomorrow. Frank Bodani, by the way, in the final half hour today. Matt's already buying playoff tickets for the Eagles.
Trust me, no. I don't even have a current player's jersey right now because I'm waiting to see how things go, which is rare for me. Because I like to be in uniform when I'm watching, but I can't be wasted money on and then players leave. I can't do it anymore.
I'm usually in shorts and a t-shirt. All right. jersey.
Oh, yeah. I'm always in jersey for almost every Eagles game that I watch from home.
Oh, those poor kids.
It's tradition. It's what you have to do. They're in their gear. I'm in my gear. That's how we roll.
Does Lisa wear a jersey for the Steelers?
No, even though I've told her that she needs to, but she won't listen to me.
Smart girl.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors guarantee to back it up, that means everything. Fabulous sales staff that works with you. You know, your trading's never been worth more. In a service department, I don't care whether it's difficult, routine, oil changes, whatever it may be, tire rotation, or an inspection, they are the best in the business. Great service department. It's all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Now, do you dress the kids up in garb the day of the game?
On most game days, I have. Oh, yeah. Mark's in his onesie. Now, Luke's outgrown his, so I have to. I've requested Santa some new Eagles gear for Luke. So he hasn't been in uniform the last couple weeks, but Mark has been.
But they're under 500. I mean, do you want the youth of America labeled a loser?
No, it's
by
you.
Garb?
You are.
I mean, what's next? Getting him a Jacksonville Jaguars jacket? What?
No, especially with Urban Meyer there. No way.
I mean, I'm just asking.
That's just blasphemy.
I'm concerned.
I might as well throw my kids out to a pack of wolves if I'm going to let them be influenced by Urban Meyer.
Yeah, but you beat Detroit and the Jets. It doesn't count.
I'm teaching them loyalty. No matter how bad they are, you root like a lunatic for them every week.
I asked the suit once about loyalty, right? And he took his wallet out. All right, so...
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up!
I guess we're all loyal to something.
Sure.
I hate this show!
Let's go with that.
I can't believe I invited him to this party. He's gonna get up and do a stand-up.
Oh, my almighty!
All right, let's turn our attention now to Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Frank, it is always great to have you with us on the other end.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Great to talk some football with you here.
Absolutely.
We need to do that and getting ready for the bowl game and everything else. All the bowl games, right?
Yeah, all of them, because everything starts. Yeah, Friday it starts, and then 2 weeks from Saturday it's Penn State and Arkansas in the Outback Bowl. It's been interesting. We know how the season finished. And then we know that Brent Pry, like the inevitable was that Brent Pry was going to get a head coaching job someplace. I felt like Penn State avoided the inevitable for a couple of years. So now it's when the inevitable happens, how do you react to it? So when you look at James' long-term contract stability at the top, Sean Clifford coming back and what it can mean for the young quarterbacks that he's there, and hiring Manny Diaz with this recruiting class, what kind of 10-day period has Penn State had since the season ended?
dang, Steve, it's just as busy for us as almost more than a game week.
Yeah.
Just doesn't end here. But you know what? The key to me is that you react and strike quickly, because that's probably how you're going to get the best options to fill out your staff, to help your team move forward. And that's what James has done. I mean, he has a track record for doing that. This isn't anything new. But here's the other key, is that they kept Anthony Poindexter, it appears. So,
yes.
That, to me, it's almost as if, you know, hey, Manny Diaz, the big name, and that's like, you could say that's his biggest hire in a way. I mean, biggest splash hire. But it kind of goes in coordination to me with Poindexter, who could have left to be a head coach himself, was close to doing it, at least, it seemed like. But to keep him on for another year, I mean, we saw the work he did in year one. That combination to me really stands out.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you see the development of Jaden Reed. You see the development of Keaton Ellis moving over to safety, and Jair Brown's development, I thought, was, you know, I thought Dex played a huge role in that.
Yeah, and it's not a position in the past that Penn State has necessarily flourished to this level, to have two guys that have done so well at the same time. So, not, and these are junior college transfers. I mean, guys who might have had some, you know, some upside, but no guarantees. And to have them play the way they did, I think Jair, you know, if he comes back for another year and follows Brisker's kind of mold, so to speak,
right.
I mean, he's on the verge to me of being a big time playmaker. His hand, it's always around the ball. I mean, that's great prognosis for next year if he can come back and, you know, just finalize some things there.
Well, Sean Clifford is coming back. What does it mean for the 2022 team? But also, what can it mean for the young quarterbacks to be in a room with somebody that's been around the block that is willing to share information the way Sean does?
I mean, it would mean everything. Who's more experienced coming back as a quarterback in the country than Sean? I can't imagine there is anybody. And he's had, and not just that he's been a starter, but that he's had to go through an uneven time in his career, which I think can make you a much better teacher. I think it's not been all easy for him, which he's been able to push through that. And, you know, he shows not just his loyalty, but, you know, his willingness to lead this team going forward to something better. And these guys, these young guys, Penn State goes from one of the more inexperienced quarterback rooms in the country without Sean to, wow, they don't need to go to the transfer portal for anything. They have a guy, I mean, I just don't think you can emphasize more. This is a great situation for Penn State. I don't know if all the fans would see through to all the benefits of this, but I think if Sean can stay healthy, first of all, there's no reason why he can't have a year similar to Kenny Pickett. I keep seeing that in my mind. He's right there. His team is close, invaluable for two big-time prospects to be able to learn from him.
See, I look at exactly what you talked about, which I think is very fair. But I look at, for example, C.J. Stroud. All right, didn't have to play right away. He had Justin Fields in front of him. He was able to get himself into the position. Bryce Young, he didn't have to play right away. Mac Jones was there, just like Mac didn't have to play right away until Tua got hurt. You know, and you can go through the long list of guys. There's so many quarterbacks across the country where he's a freshman. He's not a freshman. Quote, the guy's a redshirt freshman. It makes a big difference. I think the ability where there's no pressure on you for it to be go time, and you've got a guy you can pull aside and say, okay, Sean, tell me, what did you see out there and why did you make that decision?
Yeah, I like the room even without Sean in a way, but Christian Vayu's only played one half of one college game.
Exactly, yeah.
No matter what he did.
And did a great job to his credit. And who was the first guy who kept talking to him on the sideline when he came off the field?
Right, and people also got to understand, look at the Penn State schedule the first half of next year. I mean, one of the tougher opening six-game schedules, I would think, in the country. Kind of nice to have the security of your senior quarterback that are deleted.
No, I absolutely agree with that. All right, so now Manny Diaz comes in, and we talked about Anthony Poindexter coming back. Manny has a great reputation as a DC along the way, and you know, a lot like Brent, he's aggressive along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've heard that hire, what ran through your mind?
Well, the name recognition and what he brings. I mean, this is somebody that the kids are going to know. I mean, he was just the head coach at the U. I mean, people know who he is. So you don't have to look up his – go searching through, you know, the internet for his resume. You kind of know. And I think Penn State is now – I mean, James, how many head coaches does he now have in the game from his staff? That says a lot right there. Mm-hmm. But then being able to bring in – a guy who is just the head coach for 3 years at a place like Miami that has his reputation. And it's similar. I mean, Penn State has been known for getting to the quarterback. I mean, there's some, in some ways you might think they need to ratchet that up in some regards last year or so, but for other reasons. But Manny's that type of guy. You know, look at his track record of his team tackles for losses and sacks. And that's comes right at you. That's right what Penn State has been doing for, you know, the last 10 years, easily being one of the teams always leading the country or close to leading in the top 10 and getting to the quarterback. And that's how that's their style. So this fits. This works.
There's another element to it as well. Manny's been sitting in that head coaching job chair, which is a different chair than any other chair you're going to sit in. Okay. James can now talk to somebody on the staff that understands the life of the CEO part of it, that, you know, he can bounce things off of because they've sat in the same chair.
Right, and you know what? This is the kind of hire that Alabama's making, that Ohio State makes.
Yes,
okay,
right.
We're not just throwing it out there because they make them. They make them and they're successful. Okay, this is part of their success. I mean, who did Alabama? Oh, they need an offensive coordinator. Let's go just get Bill O'Brien. I mean, whether you agree or like it or not, this is what college football and success in college football is. This is part of being able to do this. This is part of it, is you develop guys that go to become head coaches, even if they're only there a few years, and you bring in guys that are at the top of their game, and it, even if Manny is only there for a couple of years. That, you know, that's what you got to do, and that's what the big boys are doing, and that's what Penn State is doing.
National Signing Day, you know, there'll be some talk about, you know, when to do it, but it's going to be this time around. You know, obviously it's the 15th. It's tomorrow. Obviously, there's how high is the interest in your area? Not because it's just Penn State, but because there's a quarterback in your area that has ached for years to come here.
Yeah, I don't know if Penn State, if your county, our league, York and Adams County, has ever had a scholarship quarterback at Penn State, ever. So Bo Prabula is a big deal. And that just takes it to another level because, you know, it's a lot of Penn State fans down here anyway because there's a branch campus here and it's just, it's Pennsylvania. But yeah, that is a different level, and I think this, to me, is James' most, could be, you could say it's his most important recruiting class at Penn State. I think it might have some of the, could be, you could argue it's his best. Certainly has probably the most star power. I mean, Nick Singleton, Gatorade Player of the Year in the country, Drew Allar, the number one quarterback. And, oh, yeah, then there's Bo Prabula, who would be getting more attention in other years, right? But don't sleep on the kid. The intangibles, and you know, you always hear it, but guys like Zach Mills, Trace McSorley, that's kind of what we're, that's the mold here, I think.
Yeah, always interesting. Have you done anything with all this action going on? Have you really had a chance to do anything about Arkansas yet?
Well, I know they lost their best player, receiver, is not playing in the game.
That's 40% of their pass offense is Traylon Burks. Yep.
Right. Their quarterback, I think, you know, looking at his production and how he's done it is kind of startling. I mean, the kid is big, and he's great passing numbers, but his running numbers Yeah. Penn State hasn't played. Penn State has not dealt. Penn State's defense has not dealt with a quarterback quite like Arkansas's QB this season. So that's a unique challenge. In the way they run the ball with, you know, three other running backs. So that's a unique challenge. And you got to know, here's the other thing. Arkansas is going to be coming out, to me, wanting to win this game. I think they're going to come out like Kentucky was 3 years ago. That's going to be the type of challenge that Penn State's going to have to meet, is that you're going to be playing a team that wants this game badly, even without their star receiver. So Penn State's going to have to match that intensity of the day.
And by the way, just so everyone understands, Bumper Pool, who is a guy, by the way, does not start. Right? Bumper Pool does not start. But that actually is his given name. So just
great.
Bumper.
And their linebackers are very productive with huge numbers. So
yeah, Grant Morgan was named the Burlsworth Trophy winner. The one that Matt McGloin won is the guy that's gone from a former walk-on to a scholarship player, and he won that award for them. Morgan, 31, is a really good player. But then there's always Bumper Pool.
Absolutely. See, how did Joe and Penn State never play Arkansas? That's my other biggest question.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question, because I've never once heard the name come up. Like, for example, they had Auburn scheduled in 1983. They had them scheduled. They're going to come to Beaver Stadium. And that's why they ended up playing Brown, because Auburn backed out. Tennessee was supposed to come here twice in the 70s, backed out. Arkansas was in the Southwest Conference, and it never happened for whatever reason. I don't even think it ever came up. The only Arkansas game I've ever done in my career was an NCAA tournament game between Penn State and Arkansas.
Right. So never a chance in a bowl game.
No, never a chance in a bowl game. Just never has happened. So, which I think adds a lot to it, because this is different.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, again, it's a team that has a tradition, but it's a kind of a rejuvenated team that's going to want to win this game no matter who's out there. Like, they're going to be playing this hard.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to September when they beat Texas. Finally got a chance to play Texas.
I mean, they took Alabama down. They made Alabama sweat towards the end of that game. So
no question. No question. Interesting.
Good chance for Penn State to actually kind of do their recovery. I mean, this is a big thing for next year, but I mean, I think if you're a fan and a team, you want to end this up.
No question.
And look the right way.
Exactly. And not only that, this would be a really good win, and it would be their second SEC win of the season. So, hey, Frank, thank you so much. Can't wait to see you down the road. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Sounds great.
Frank Bodani, your daily record. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4 Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You know, I'm going to be in Tampa in 2 weeks. In fact, I'm going to be the home of the Bucks. I may go out and buy two mini Tom Brady jerseys because I want your kids to feel like winners.
We'll pass, but I appreciate the offer.
No. I mean, I think it's important for self-esteem.
That's all right. I wear my Nick Foles jersey most days with the Super Bowl patch on it, so they see a winner. So it's okay.
He's a third-string quarterback for the Bears.
Yeah, but he's a Super Bowl MVP now. It doesn't matter.
He's a third-string quarterback for the Bears. Have you seen the Bears lately? I mean, if you can't start for that team, you're not really that good.
Well, things didn't end that well for, Trent Dilfer. No, all right, that's not a good comparison. I'll take that back.
No, it's not a good one at all. I'll tell you who's actually not a great quarterback, but is a good quarterback, and for some reason the world wants to replace him all the time, is Jimmy Garoppolo. You watch Jimmy Garoppolo play, okay? He's not great. He's not great, but he's good. And for some reason, everybody wants to replace him all the time. He seems to have the ability to make some plays. Now, does he make some mistakes? Sure. But is he better than Trey Lance? Oh, my goodness. They're not even in the same category. Hey, replace him. Okay, over here in the back. Why?
Now, he's been hurt, but you really haven't seen or heard too much from Trey Lance lately.
But he has no experience. This is what gets me. Play that guy. Okay. Just buy the tickets. Okay. We'll make the decisions. Okay. Like, come on. He has no experience. What, he let it drive in the preseason? Oh, my goodness. And that was some drive. I thought it was special. That guy's led drives in the Super Bowl. Like, legit drives in the Super Bowl. This guy played one game at North Dakota State last year. Wow. Holy cow. Who led the game-winning drive against Cincinnati in the clutch on Sunday? Garoppolo. Nah, he's not Jalen Hurts. Is it when Jalen Hurts did that against the Giants? Oh, wait. No, that ended in failure.
Okay, that hurts.
Yeah. You beat the Jets and the Lions, though.
Correct.
You're 4-7 against the rest of the league.
Yeah, they got some tiebreakers with the Falcons and the Saints and the Panthers.
You're the only team to play the Jets and the Lions. Wow. That 4-7 would bother me if I were you. That's not good.